Good morning, folks. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru, and I'm happy to be with you, as usual. I'm not always happy, but I'm always happy to be with you, and that is what it's all about. I'm not happy about a recent purchase experience I just had. Y'all remember when I went to Florida, went to the auto auction and bought, well, the Gooding auction. I went to several auctions while I was down there, but it was a classic car auction. If you haven't been listening, then you know not of what I'm speaking. But I did go to Florida. It was my annual brother trip. We went to Amelia Island, where they have the Concours d'Elegance. Sounds fancy. And it is fancy. It's a fancy car show. But they also have auctions, and I went to one of the most popular auctions, the Gooding auction. They sold $66 million worth of cars, about $200,000 of which was my dollars, and about $100,000 of which was money I shouldn't have spent on a particular car. Because come to find out, that car has had the airbag removed on it. Now, let's talk about that just a minute. If you were to buy a used car and you were in a pretty serious accident and the driver's side airbag, or I'm sorry, the passenger side airbag went off, but the driver's side airbag did not, and you were injured, and the airbag not being there was probably the cause of most of your injuries, would you be unhappy? Hopefully you'd survive it. But once you did survive it and realize what happened and you found out that there was no airbag at all in there and you'd bought that vehicle used from somebody, would you be upset? Would you have legal recourse? Well, the answer to that question in the state of Tennessee is yes, you would. I mean, you could sue them on multiple levels, but it is also a criminal violation, federal law and state law, to remove an airbag before you sell a vehicle to somebody and not tell them. Now, if you know it when you buy the vehicle and you sign off on it that you know it doesn't have an airbag, then that's not illegal. It's funny, though. It is illegal for a car dealer, or really anybody for that matter, to remove an airbag and not reinstall an airbag. It's not illegal for them to do it for themselves, but it is illegal if they ever transfer that vehicle to anybody else. They are liable. So anyway, I bought this Porsche, 1990 model Porsche 964. It's really a 911. Do you know what a 911 looks like? You know, it's got a really swoopy back end and buggy headlights and stuff. It's a Volkswagen on steroids. But anyway, pretty expensive, pretty valuable car, obviously. And I bought it as it went across the auction block, but nobody said anything about it having the airbags disabled. Didn't find out about it until I'd sent a driver down there to pick it up, and he loaded it up on a trailer, brought it back to Tennessee, and we're sitting there looking at it, and I noticed that one of the lights on the dash is not on that's supposed to be on. And I looked real closely, and it is the airbag light. And then I looked at the steering wheel, and I realized the steering wheel is probably too small to have an airbag in it. That was probably my error. I should have noticed that. I let my exuberance overcome my due diligence. And so that could be my downfall on this deal. I was looking at Florida law. You know, Google is an amazing thing. And the access of information. You know, if you ever have a situation with a car and you want to know what the laws are in a particular state with regards to that issue, you can probably find it online. I just Googled, is it legal to sell a car in Florida when the airbags have been removed? Pretty long Google inquiry, isn't it? Well, it's not. It is not legal. Sale of a used vehicle without disclosure that the airbag is missing may involve common law fraud, which may lead to punitive damages. Now, that would be a civil issue. I'm not a lawyer, but I think that could be interpreted as a violation of a tort, T-O-R-T, which I think is civil law. And then, now, is it criminally illegal? And a lot of stuff that I have seen says that it is. Fraudulent sale of used vehicles with missing airbags may also violate federal or state RICO statute. What is RICO? Well, RICO is a law that was passed in 1970, and it stands for Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. And it's basically a federal law designed to combat organized crime. Now, this is getting a little deep here. All I want is for the Gooding auction or the seller. Of course, remember, the auction itself is just kind of a pipeline through which the vehicle is sold. They have a disclaimer that's about 4 pages long, which probably covers them pretty well. But the guy who sold this vehicle through the auction would be liable. Now, there's another unfortunate thing. This was part of a collection of cars that was being sold because this guy died and his estate was selling the cars. So now the estate should be liable. But will they be? I don't know. I'm supposed to find out this afternoon if I'm going to be made whole. So I've got a very expensive old car with no airbags. So I'm thinking about what's the end game here for me. Well, if they buy the car back, then, you know, I'm pretty much clear. If they don't buy the car back, then what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to have to install airbag in that car on the driver's side. Hopefully the whole system isn't messed up. Thank goodness I do have a good friend who is a highly skilled Porsche mechanic. So hopefully he can help me work through that. I have some other issues that I've got to fix on the car. So what I'll do, since I bought it for resale anyway, then I'm going to get the car ready for resale. Probably going to sell it on bringatrailer.com. And I'll take pictures and get all the history and all that kind of stuff. And hopefully we'll be able to not lose money on it. My guess is that I won't lose money, but you just don't know. And I just really, well, I'll lose money after putting airbags in it because that could cost anywhere from, well, if I can find a used steering column that's been taken out of another car, but how hard is that going to be on a 1990 model car, finding the right steering column, finding an airbag that is in good shape? And what if it was a Takata airbag, you know, one of those that got recalled? This is not a good situation. And it really all started with, I could have avoided this if I had just really been focused and really paying attention. I was having too much fun. And, you know, and that's what happens with car buyers lots of times. So I'm just like you. You get to having too much fun, you are going to potentially make a financial mistake. And that's what I did. So I've got to find ways to remedy it. I had a customer call me last week, said that they had made a financial mistake. They had paid a $500 deposit down on a car. And, you know, they were trying to get it, the dealership. It was not a new car dealer. It was a used car dealer trying to get the deal approved. And customer jumped from one car to the other, you know, trying to find something that they liked. And when it was all said and done, he said, yeah, you know, I don't think I want to trade. Can I have my deposit back? And used car lot said, no, you can't have your deposit back. We have a sign up here that says that when you pay down payment or a deposit, that it is non-refundable. Now, there aren't many legitimate car dealers in East Tennessee, new car dealers, that would ever do that. And so I'm a little bit disappointed in this dealer. I did call them for these people listen to my radio show, and I said, let me make a call and see if there's anything I can do. He said, well, that's just the owner's policy. I said, well, okay. Can you make an exception, give them their money back? He said, no. So you're going to run into that. You know, don't put a deposit down unless you get a receipt and a copy of a bill of sale or something that says that this is what the transaction is going to be. And that also tells you whether or not the deposit's going to be refundable. And don't give a deposit anyway, unless you are pretty doggone certain you're going to take the car. Folks do stuff all the time that make no sense. And that's one of them. So anyway, I'll find out and I'll see what they say. Now, do I take it to a higher level? I've already contacted a lawyer, my lawyer, corporate lawyer, and said, this is the situation. He says, well, I think, you know, they should probably give you your money back. But, you know, I've got to weigh the cost benefit here, you know, because what's a lawyer going to cost me? Probably 10 grand when it's all said and done, maybe more. It may just require a letter. That wouldn't cost 10,000, but that would cost something, and send it to the auction company. And then they've got their lawyers, and then you get this, you know, cat and mouse, or not, well, just tit for tat kind of a thing, and it just gets out of control. So I'll probably just fix the car, sell the car, and take my lumps. And sometimes that's what you got to do. All right, so I'm going to take my first break, and I'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, we're back. You know, I had a good customer of mine meet me in the showroom a little while ago and said, my tire pressure light keeps popping on. Of course, they didn't even know what the light meant, and I get that. Folks, you should know what all the lights on your dash mean. It's in your owner's manual. If you just sit there and turn it on, then just like activate the starter. You might have a push button starter. You just activate that, just lightly touch it, and it won't turn your car on, but all those lights, warning lights and stuff will come on, and you can make sure all of yours are working and know what they are. Well, what's that one mean? Looks like a horseshoe. Well, that's your tire pressure monitoring system light. So when it senses that the air pressure has fallen below a certain number, then it activates that light. And so why is her light coming on? Well, it could be because it's a defective sensor. These are actually part of the valve stem. If you were to break your tire down, you know what the valve stem is, right? You know, it's that thing where you put air into your tire. And so on the other side of it, inside the wheel, there is a sensor there that measures and sends by Bluetooth. It sends the information to your, well, I guess it's Bluetooth. Somehow it sends the information to your computer on your car. And if the tire pressure is not what it's supposed to be, then it activates that light. Now on my F-150, I have a setting on my dash where I can go and actually see what the actual tire pressures are. You may not have that on your car. But if that light comes on periodically, it's probably just because your tire pressure is just borderline being too low. And so when it gets cold, you know, things retract and your pressure goes down and it activates your light. When you go down the road and it warms up, sometimes that light will just go off. So it's just the way it's physics, you know? So anyway, for every 10-degree drop in temperature, you can count on the tire pressure to drop from 1 to 2 pounds. So, you know, last week we went from 65 degrees to, what, 15 or whatever, however cold it got. That's really going to drop the pressure in your tires. Now, if you're parking it in a nice warm garage, not so much. But if it's outside, you could walk out the next morning and see your tire pressure warning light on. Now, if you have nitrogen, pure nitrogen in your tires, they will not fluctuate as much. And you can get that done at a tire store or Gateway Ford or someplace like that that actually has the ability to suck all of the normal breathing air out of your tire and put in pure nitrogen. And it works. Apparently, those little nitrogen molecules are fatter, and they don't leak out as easily as oxygen molecules do. So anyway, that's what my chemist friend said. You know, if you want to, in the wintertime, it's probably not a bad idea to, when you inflate your tires, put 2 or 3 PSI more in your tire. So if it calls on the side of your, when you open your door and you see that little label that shows the recommended pressure, if it says 32, you might put 34 in it. And in the wintertime, you won't need to in the summer because that's not going to fluctuate that much in the summer. Now, the downside of overinflating your tire, if you do it too much, is your tire is going to wear out in the center tread quicker. And it could ride a little bit rougher, but it will get better gas mileage. Isn't that interesting? And you will lose some traction, but not much, you know, not at 2 or 3 pounds. Now, I got into a vehicle the other day that was sitting on my lot. Somehow, it had gone through the pre-delivery inspection process. My technician had put nitrogen in the tires but not adjusted the pressure after he had done that. And he had about I think, 48 pounds in a tire that called for 35 pounds. I know, it's bad, but that's why we check stuff like this. But that will not trigger a pressure, a tire pressure light. If you have too much pressure, you'll never know it. It's when you have too little that triggers that. So just keep an eye on that. That's what a tire pressure gauge is for. You know, I would recommend buying one, sticking it in your glove box, and just check your tire pressures once a month, you know, between oil changes. It's easy. Just walk around the car, take your little valve stem cap off, put the tire pressure on there, look at it. You know, if it's high, don't if it's just a little high, don't worry about it. If it's low, go get some air in your tires. We offer free air at Gateway. Matter of fact, if you listen to this radio show and you want to put nitrogen in your tires, then just call me or send me a text and come on down to Greenville, and I'll put nitrogen in your tires. That's normally $19.95 to suck all the air out of your tires and put nitrogen back in. But I'll just because you listen to this radio show, you got to mention it, and you got to send a text message to me, and I'll do that for you for nothing. My cell phone number is 423-552-2020. So that may be the best offer you've had this morning. So sock it away. I mean, you don't need a coupon or anything like that. You just use my cell phone number. Do you know what the best-selling car color was last year in used cars, used vehicles? Well, this kind of surprised me. You know, I'm thinking white. And I'm thinking, or maybe not, if not white, maybe silver. It's actually black. 22.3% of cars sold by used car retailer CarMax were black. White was next at 19.3% and gray or silver, 17.6%. So a lot of boring people out there. Not a lot of red and yellow cars and green cars. I almost bought a Porsche the other day at the Gooding auction that was a beautiful shade of kind of an emerald, I don't know, grass green. You know, I don't think any manufacturer has ever called a paint color grass, but that's what it looked like to me. I like it. I don't know if it's something I would get tired of. You know, it's something about buying a car in an odd shade. Like I see some of these Kia Rios, what's that other Kia that I don't like? Soul, yeah, that's the one. I know they're very popular. I see them all over the place, but I just do not like that body style. Did you know that the man who invented mass production of automobiles was none other than Henry Ford? You know, he also coined a phrase that is commonly used in the car business, and that is tune-up. You know, the first ignition systems were basically spark plugs and ignition coils. If the coils worked together properly, then they would buzz at the same level and be in tune. If they did not, it meant that the vehicle was not running at its optimum level and the coils needed to be adjusted or tuned up. And that's where that phrase came from. You know, another thing that he invented. This is just some interesting statistics and things that I was reading about the other day. A report from Texas A&M found that the average American commuter spends an extra 54 hours a year in traffic delays. Well, I felt like I spent that on Interstate 95 and 26 this past week. All the stops and extra hours spent just sitting still on the interstate is so frustrating. I think that's getting worse. Too many people on the road at the same time. You know, inflation seems like it's on everybody's mind. And on the lips of every news person, news reader is what I call them, on TV and radio and everything. But, you know, back in 1908 through 1925, we had a period of deflation when it came to cars. Henry Ford developed the Model T, of course. When it first came out, it cost around $850. That was 1908. And by 1925, you could buy a Model T for $260. You know, the first time in America and the world, the world's first electric traffic signal was put into place on the corner of Euclid Avenue. There's a Euclid Avenue in Bristol. But Euclid Avenue and East 105th Street, you know where that is, in Cleveland, Ohio, on August 5th, 1914. My dad was born August the 4th, 1927. We'll take our last break, and I'll share with you a couple other interesting facts. A good friend of mine called me the other day and said, Lenny, should I buy an extended warranty on my vehicle, or a service contract is what the official name? And it was interesting. He's bought a new vehicle from me, and he was trying to decide whether he needed to spend additional money on that. And I pretty much advised him not to. In his particular case, it really doesn't make sense. For some people, it does, especially if a pretty major automotive repair would shatter your lifestyle. You know, if you've got money and you can afford, you know, a $2,000, $1,500 repair, I would go ahead and do it. A lot of dealers offer lifetime powertrain warranties now. We do at Gateway on every new Nissan, every new Ford. You buy a vehicle from me, it's going to be covered by a lifetime powertrain warranty. What's that? Well, that's the engine, the transmission, the drive axles, the transfer case, anything that makes the vehicle go. That's covered. That's part of the powertrain. But the average car has over 30,000 parts. And so other things can go wrong, and you just have to be able to handle that. But for the most part, that other stuff isn't going to cost you way too much if they break. But if you are, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, or, you know, really tight budget or something like that, then buying an extended warranty or a service contract is not a bad idea. It just, you got to watch what you pay for it. Get quotes on them, and do not buy anything that comes to you in the mail. People, you know, they get all these notices, well, your warranty is about to expire. Well, that's just a lame warranty company trying to get you to buy their product that won't cover anything when you need it. So watch out for that, folks. So anyway, I hope you gleaned something of value during this radio show. And if you enjoyed, or you have something in particular that you want me to talk about, just call me. Let me know. 423-552-2020, or send me a text. Say, hey, Lenny, talk about this. If it's semi-interesting, I will talk about it. So let's just do that. Thanks for listening again to this edition of My Car Guru, and we will see you tomorrow.